This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and it's the 17th of October, 2011. I'm your host, Heriwood Fenton. Today's show is going to be dealing with the Occupy Australian movement. We attended the Occupy Martin Place rally on Saturday, and I was down there with Craig Stanford, who is joining us for the show tonight, and we shot some footage down there, which is now on YouTube. And, you know, it's a little bit controversial, it's a little bit provocative, what we've done, and it is likely to annoy some people, because we are not essentially being groupies for the movement, as it's called, the Occupy Australia movement. We have some very serious questions. And we went to the event with those questions, and unfortunately our questions were answered in ways that I would have preferred they were not. I would have liked to have felt that he was a movement which was something that I could really join and feel part of, and I'm really keen on that. But what we saw was a group of people that appear to be, many of them, of course, well-meaning, and I certainly don't want to infer that probably the vast majority, probably 90% of the people who were there turned up because they want a better world, whatever that means. But what has also happened is that, and it's interesting because they call themselves the 99%, but what I think, actually, they're not really the 99%, because what they represent is the green left factions within our society, which are actually a small minority of the, politically aware people in our country. And firstly, I dispute the use of the term "we are the 99%" when they clearly are factional and not embracing, for example, the massive carbon skeptics movement, which is huge in this country. And I'd just like to welcome Craig now to the show. And Craig, can I just get your take on what I just said?
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure.
I totally agree. We're out there and, you know, it was red all over, basically. There was Communist Party of Australia flags, there was the Socialist Alliance flags, and, you know, other various, you know, Socialist Alliance, various other socialist organisations out in force. And they really were the dominating force there. Apart from a CPAC, the LaRouche Foundation guys standing at the bottom, slightly down from Martin Place, from where the occupation was taking place.
Yes, and the CEC, we know, do take a stand on some topics, which I strongly agree with. So at least, yes, there was a representative of something different to the green left there.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, there was, you know, amongst the crowd, there was the odd person. I saw a couple of people with, you know, the Ron Paul T-shirts and the InfoWars T-shirts and things like that. But they were far outnumbered by the socialists. And I mean, the whole thing was run. What it seemed by was the green left people, and, you know, the same people that we saw. I'm pretty sure that I've seen those faces at the pro carbon tax rallies, or, you know, climate action, you could call it. Led by GetUp.
Yeah, and of course the rhetoric of climate change was all over the place at the event. A few of the speakers were talking about it. There's one that I've put in the video. You unfortunately can't hear the audio very clearly, but she's definitely talking about climate change, and she's saying that the planet is going to end, or she makes a few statements like that, and that's actually in the YouTube video that I've posted. A young girl, I mean, she looks like, you know, a lovely, well-meaning person, but again, you know, this climate change rhetoric, and I just really have to reinforce it again here, is that the climate change industry, the climate change concept, is a scam. The science is a scam. The solution is also a scam. There's nothing about it that's genuine, except for the fact that, yes, climates do change, okay? Agreed, climates do change, always have, always will. But everything else, apart from the word itself, is completely deceptive and dishonest. And I know you're, of course, in agreement with me on that one, Craig. But unfortunately, the people who are manipulating the masses who turn up to some of these events have a different agenda, and it's not even a majority view; it's a tiny minority view. Would you agree with that?
Most definitely, and it seems to be that they are, you know, the most active, which is a shame. Whether it's because they're being steered by some, you know, by some parent organization, or you know, and or being funded by them, or I fail to see that this is just a grassroots thing that's popping up, and the same thing popping up in all the different places around the world where these similar protests are taking place.
Well, yeah, and I really want to get into the the subject of the questions about whether this is rolling off a template. Because there are certain things that I've seen, and I've watched a number of videos that have come from the US. Adam Kakesh from the RT show, Adam versus the Man, was documenting some of the things that were going on in the parks there. And we had the group chanting. I haven't seen the group chanting in Sydney, but I would assume that that will be coming, because some of the other features that we've seen in the US protests are there. The hand signals are there. So there's two types of hand signals. This is like the waving of the hand, and then there's like the fist. Are those the two hand signals that they use?
Yeah, the one was so when the organizer would call for everybody to remain non-violent, that was when the twinkling hands came in. That's like the, you know, the twinkle twinkle little star kind of thing, where they both, or they put both hands up and wave their fingers around. And there was another one as well, because I was, you know, getting quite heated in when everyone was doing this, and I was, you know, yelling some stuff out because you know, I wanted my voice to be heard as well. And everyone was putting up the double, you know, the hand across the hand with the fists, as if to say, you know, block this guy. That was another one they were using. And then there was another strange one they were doing, where they were doing the fist over fist, like rolling it, like roly-poly kind of, the only way I can describe it, you know, that kind of action.
Right.
And I'm not sure exactly what that was for, but...
So you were down there again today, today being the 17th of October. You were actually down there today. And you are you actually referring to something that was taking place today?
No, that was on Saturday.
Saturday,
but,
right.
Yeah,
right.
But they were doing the I mean, whenever one of the group organizers, I was watching this, the main group, who was still there, all camped out, and it was like, that was the kind of, the twinkling thing was kind of, you know, when they would agree, it's like, you know, they'd ask, does everyone agree? And everyone put their hands up and twinkle them around. So, yeah, but
so we've got the group, the non-violent thing
on Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like hand across hand. That's like stop that or no or bad or something like that.
Yeah.
Then there's the twinkling, which is just waving the hand. And what was the other one?
It was like, you know, you get they've got two fists and they're like rolling them over, like roly-poly action. I think I don't know what that meant though. one can only ponder.
Now, of course, we were talking before about what is it? There's something about this. There's something going on here. Something doesn't feel right. Something doesn't sit right in my gut with it. And, you know, I really try to rely on my intuition sometimes to understand social phenomena, because things happen so quickly that by the time it explains itself clearly, it's like it's fully blown, you know, and it's already actually done its damage. And I think it's really important that we start to trust our instincts. And when I see people acting in group, in a mass way like this, what it says to me is that this is dampening down everyone's individual consciousness and trying to make people blend into a group consciousness. That seems to be the goal of that sort of behavior.
Yeah, definitely. And like I was explaining before, I mean, I've got a young daughter and it reminded me very much of her assemblies, where the teacher would say something and then they'd all do similar things. You know, they'd just parrot the teacher, or, you know, the teacher would do a hand movement and then all the little kids would repeat. And now this is obviously a public school as well, so it seems to me like some kind of, for lack of a better word, it seems like mind control.
Yeah, and of course this is the absolute antithesis of freedom and democracy. This is the absolute antithesis of the championing of the individual. It's all about the group. It's all about the collective. Now, you were down there again today. What did you see today? Anything new? Anything different?
It was a lot smaller.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd read some of the articles prior to going down there, and you know, the mainstream media was saying that, you know, all the well-to-dos had gone back to their day jobs, and it was just, you know, the hangers-on that were there left, and they were the same types. You know, a couple of the people that I saw organizing the event running around and trying to, you know, just trying to stop me from having my free speech. One of the guys there, and I had an in-depth conversation with him actually. And I mean, it's not, you know, like you, I think that they're, you know, well-meaning people, and that they really do see injustice in the world, and they want to try and do something about it. But I think they're being led in the wrong direction, and it's counterproductive in my eyes, definitely.
Now, of course, we're going to be upsetting people by what we're saying here tonight, and you know, some of the people are on the Truth News page already took offence at some of the things I said earlier, and we may lose some listeners over this. But what I'm finding is that my initial intuitions, my initial gut feelings that there was something fishy going on here are just being confirmed the more I look into it. And so, you know, a week ago I was like, maybe, you know, maybe this is co-opted. Now I'm like, yeah, this is co-opted. You know what I mean? Like, it's really solidifying for me now.
Definitely. I mean, I'd just like to talk a little bit how I think if it was a true democratic, true people movement, how it would have went. I mean, it wouldn't be controlled by the guys from the Green Left movement, the Socialist Alliance, whoever they are. They don't wear name tags, so it's hard to see who's who.
Yeah.
It could have been a public forum where they would say, has anybody got any other views? I mean, do you have any differing opinions? Do you want to come up to the mic? Do you want to have your say? But they had their speakers lined up, you know, and it was all the same sort of stuff. And, I mean, they gave the sex workers a stage, and I mean that's got to be the minority of the minority.
That's like, interesting. I didn't notice. I mean,
wouldn't they try? And they all say when you're talking to them, they want to have an open forum where all these different views can have a space in the discussion. But when it comes down to the crunch, they really don't want that at all. They're steering it. It's their show. And they don't want you to have a differing opinion, especially if it's anti-socialist or, you know, of a libertarian viewpoint. Because obviously, if you're a libertarian or have some libertarian values, that
can be a problem. It can be a problem because libertarian people just want to have, you know, well, we respect actually differences of opinion. We know that you can actually have dialogue. You can have an argument. And it doesn't have to be the end of the world because people disagree. We know that that's how sensible, mature people function. And we'll be back onto that after the break.
Capital Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets. And we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCornAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Miras Proven Method. Michael Miras has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Miras Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Miras banner or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. And tonight we're talking about the Occupy Australia movement, the Occupy Reserve Bank in Martin Place event, which took place on the 15th of October. And I just wanted to add to what you were saying there, Craig, about, you know, yes, they don't want to have the discussions clouded by libertarian viewpoints, but there's something more about that. I heard a lot of people on Saturday talking about how wonderful it was that everyone has a consensus, that there was a consensus right? Mm. Now, this is a word they love to use. And, of course, it's a word that the climate change people love to use as well. And what it means is we all agree. And what they basically imply by that is anyone who doesn't agree is not kind of part of the real people, not a genuine person. Like, we all agree there is consensus, and, you know, that means those ones that don't agree are not really part of the community. And the problem with the libertarians is actually they're free thinkers, you know, and that I see as being the really scary part of what may be going on here, is this suppression of free thinkers. And I just want to give you another an anecdote from what I saw on Saturday, is that as we were walking around and as we were interviewing people, I noticed there were all these little circles of people sitting there in the middle of the square. Of course, big public space, they're out in the open, they're there to protest, they're there to get their message across. But they're sitting in a circle, and they're not very keen at actually talking to anyone who's outside the circle. Mm-hmm. So we came with our camera. Now, what I noticed was that most of the people were friendly. They looked up, and you can see it in the video, they're smiling. And actually, I probably could have entered into conversations with a number of those people in that circle. But one person stood up and took charge. And then when that one person took charge, all the others just sat there and were very, very passive. But the person who took charge, in the case of the one we've interviewed there, he was quite aggressive, wasn't he? He looked like he was a bit hyped up. And then he said his thing, and then he said, "I'm not talking to you anymore." And he wanted to just end the conversation right there. And I was just getting to the point where I wanted to ask him the really important questions. You know, what is your solution? What do you see? How do we fix things? But no more conversation. It was like, you know, this interview is over. And I find it amazing that groups of people can come together like that and let someone be such a bully. But that seems to be part of the dynamic, part of the psychology. And I think it's actually like a microcosm of what our society has become like, where bullies can basically just stand up and take charge. And because most people are by nature kind of looking for agreement and looking for consensus, when a bully stands up, they tend to let that bully just take charge, because most people's nature is to be passive and compliant. Does that make sense?
Unfortunately, yeah, it does. I mean, the more you observe it, the more you see it. It's the same in the corporate world. It's the same everywhere. It's
interesting.
People
you should mention
stand
that.
Up for themselves.
Yeah, and I've certainly seen it in the corporate world too, and I'm sure many listeners can think of the examples they've seen in the workplace, where suddenly your classic, I don't know if you've seen that. There's a silly movie out at the moment called Horrible Bosses, that it's kind of an exaggeration, but you know there are so many examples of people who just get puffed up with their egos, they're a tiny, like the much smaller percentage of the population, but they tend to just become the bullies that sort of start running things, and they're often quite incompetent. Sometimes they're quite incoherent in what they do, but because most people are passive, when one person suddenly becomes assertive, everyone goes along with it. Now, the second group we visited, Craig, it was the girl who was the bully. Remember? And it's actually in the video. She actually puts her hand in front of the camera.
Yeah.
She puts her hand right into the lens and says, "We're having a meeting. Go away." and then when we don't go away, she says, "Shall we move?" Like, she's actually telling the group that she's going to move the whole group to get away from us.
Yeah.
Incredible,
and,
really.
I mean, you weren't imposing any views. You were merely asking them what they thought and what their solutions or what their ideas were.
Yeah, and they stay, the lady concerned seemed to find it incredibly, inconvenient to have someone actually talking to them in public. Now they are sitting in public. It's weird. I really don't understand it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going on is I think that these people are the controlled opposition, and you know you hear that term a bit if you do study into political movements, and obviously there is it's at the best interest of the people who run the system, the very system that these people are protesting against, apparently, it's in their best interest to control the protest movement so that they can stifle it and just, you know, puff it out and it'll just go away. And that seems to me like what's happening, because I was speaking to a lot of people even today, and I was just going up and engaging people in a little bit, you know, in a very friendly manner.
Sure.
And just asking them what their solutions were. And they don't have any solutions. They don't have programs. They want a revolution, but they don't have anything to replace the current system with. If indeed there was, you know, if I asked the guy, what if the guys from the Reserve Bank came down and started talking to you now and they said, okay, we're willing to change it. Your protest has had an effect. What are you going to demand from them? What are you going to ask them to do?
Yeah.
And they have no idea.
Well, that to me makes them putty in the hands of any group who's aggressive enough, who does have an agenda, who wants to basically fill that void. You know, there's a vacuum there, and obviously the socialists will fill that for them very, very easily, because they've got a whole list of things that they want, and everything they want is nanny state. Everything they want is giving the state more power, but they clothe it in terms that make it seem like it's all about kindness, that it's all about making a better world, that it's all about a safety net, that it's all about helping the poor people. But everything they do, everything they actually want to enact, will actually just give the state more power.
Like the carbon tax.
Like the carbon tax. And as I attempted to debate with the lady from Green Left Weekly, who was just, you know, giving a blanket endorsement to the carbon tax, I tried to point out to her that this movement supposedly was against fraud and corruption in the banking system, and that the carbon credit system is nothing other than a rort. It is a giant rort, and the government has admitted it, that it is open to rorting, and it's going to be such a problem that they're going to have create a special division of the Australian Federal Police to stop the rorting. But of course, that's just going to create more tyranny, because this specially empowered task force of green police is going to be able to come and raid businesses, you know, and, you know, check what you're really doing to make sure you're not, you know, getting false carbon credits somehow.
Yeah. And just on that, like, they don't seem to make the connection. I mean, they say, oh, the biggest polluters are going to pay. You know, it's not us that's going to pay. It's the biggest polluters.
That's what they want.
They don't seem to make the connection that, if they were genuine people with real grievances, they would make the connection that the companies aren't going to be paying anything. They're just going to pass it down the line to them, and the cost of living is going to go up for everything you buy.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And that's the way they've engineered it. And no one's even complained about that. No one's made a fuss about that. You know, there was no outrage about that. It was like, oh, okay, of course, yeah, we've got to pass on the costs. Everyone just says, oh, yeah, okay. Of course, yeah.
I mean, it's the old socialist adage. I mean, it just rings true. You know, the ends justifies the means.
Yeah, the ends, and of course, the end in this case is total power. You know, it's just absolute power at all costs, and just the elimination of any opposition to the agenda of the globalists. Now, I actually think, Craig, that I would really like to see climate skeptics, anti-carbon tax people joining these protests. I would just like to see it to cheer me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because I find it too depressing to go to a place that's just dominated by a one-sided discussion of groupies who don't even allow discussion of any kind. Now, if a bunch of people turned up at the next one of these events with the all the amazing signs that people have done for the carbon tax protests, I think we could actually see some really interesting dynamics occur. And I just would really like to encourage everyone to do it. And I understand why they don't want to. I understand they see it as it's being co-opted. They see it as no point. But I still think it's better than letting everything divide into polarized positions. That's my opinion.
Most definitely.
Look, that's the end of this segment. And with the next segment, we're actually going to play the audio from the videos that we shot on the weekend. And that'll be today's show. Craig, thanks so much for coming on. And thanks for your amazing help on the weekend.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Down at Martin Place, Sydney, on the 15th of October 2011. Today we're seeing the beginning of the Occupy Australian movement outside the Reserve Bank here in Martin Place. Now, this movement has suddenly sprung up in major capital cities across Australia, and of course it started in Wall Street in New York, spread to many major cities in the US. Today we're here to, first of all, investigate and find out what it's all about, what the people organising it actually want, what their demands are. And we have a few questions that we want to put to some of the people here, particularly in relation to the carbon tax, which is a central critical issue for democracy in Australia, according to many people. And at least 90% of the population of Australia is opposed to the carbon tax, according to polling techniques, which we've been documenting on Truth News Radio Australia. And of course it is anti-democratic, and of course it does involve a banking scam. So one of our goals today is to find out what the people here think about the carbon tax, as well as everything else that they're here to talk about. It's Herewood Fenton reporting for Truth News Radio Australia. Okay, here is one example of one of the interest groups here today. Hot Earth, the case for planning and regulation to deal with the climate crisis. Now, as we know, and as Truth News Australia listeners know, the climate change industry is a scam, the climate change policies are a scam, and the carbon tax is a scam. So, already seeing warning signs that this group is infiltrated by elements that are not genuine. So we'll see what else we've got. Citizens Electoral Council. Now, that's the Lyndon LaRouche organisation, which actually does a lot of good work. I wouldn't say I agree 100% with what they do or what they say, but I think they are actually, in many cases, on the right track. And they do tend to appear at many of these types of events, and they have been at most of the carbon tax protests that I've been to. This one here, of course, this is a communist publication, so as we would expect, there is a strong presence here of socialist and communist groups, which are indeed, you know, many of them are probably very well-meaning people, but again, there is the possibility that that will direct this movement into a very orchestrated agenda, which is not certainly progressive from my point of view in terms of resolving the issues that face us financially and with our democracies, because socialist and communist solutions tend to be top-down, totalitarian in nature. Hi, we're just from a grassroots podcast show called Truth News Australia. Can you just give us an idea of why you're here today and what it's all about? Just your idea of it.
Go on then.
Me? I'm here to support a positive change in the community as far as the oppressive regime that banks are giving us at the moment, and the loose change that they offer us in return for our enslavement to the system. So I think that's partially why I'm here, to support all these people here and for a positive change in the way that we exist in society.
Any specific demands? Are there any specific things you're asking for?
True democracy.
Can I just ask you one question that we're asking everyone today? What do you think about the carbon tax that was passed through Parliament earlier this week? Apparently, up to 80% of the people in the population are against it, and they feel that it is, in some ways, a bit of a banking scam in itself. What do you think about that?
I think it's misdirected. The idea is constructive, but it definitely doesn't go far enough.
And what? How far would you like to go, and what would you like to see done?
I'd like to see it being used on the actual companies that are profiting from the destruction of the globe.
Okay, so you're in favour of taxation?
To the rich, yes, definitely.
Okay, so what about the situation where the taxation, as it affects people who are less than, I guess, the super elite, but the people who are earning more money than, say, the average low-paid workers, what tends to happen with taxation systems is that those people tend to actually get the brunt of it, and quite often the effect of heavy taxation and towards a collectivist socialist system is to actually create a kind of a situation where everyone is disempowered and where a super elite still controls the wealth. And that's why I've personally got a lot of questions about whether taxation and more government is the solution. And what I understand about a lot of the Occupy Wall Street movement was actually looking at the way in which corporations and government have been working hand in hand. And there is a possibility, would you say, that the collaboration of government with corporations and banks and increasing taxes could actually just lead to more tyranny, not less?
No, I agree with you, man. This is why I'm here for, not to talk about the carbon tax issue, but actually to talk about changing the system. I'm totally in agreement with you. That's why I said it doesn't go far enough, but it's actually not a solution anyway. Man. The solution is to change the system.
Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers. Hi, I'm just here with a grassroots news channel called Truth News Radio Australia, internet-only broadcast, and just asking people today, just getting a general feel of why you're here and what do you think it's all about?
Well, for me, the worst question is that of climate change, because I've just got a grandson who's a year old, and I look at him and I think, my God, what's going to happen to him in 10 years' time? Because, you know, the climate is going to get worse, there's going to be massive droughts, there's going to be all thunderstorms and typhoons, there's going to be no food. I mean, and they won't do anything about it. Our governments just won't tackle the question. They know perfectly well what the problem is, but they're in hock to the, or they've been bought off by the big coal companies. You can see how much, they spent $22 million in getting rid of a prime minister. They'll do anything.
Can I just ask, just to clarify, so you are mainly here because of climate change?
And also the way capitalist, the ruling class rules, because they, the whole example of the Qantas CEO has just voted himself for a $5 million pay rise for this year, $5 million a year. And then at the same time, he's fighting off the Qantas pilots who are asking for a reasonable wage increase. We depend on those guys in the air to get us safely from one place to another. What the hell? This is ridiculous.
Can I just ask a question, just back on the question of climate change and carbon taxes? Because I do agree that recent polling has shown that up to 80% of the population was actually against the carbon tax, and that is actually an expression of what the people in our country feel about the imposition of a carbon tax. And let's just keep that aside at the moment from questions specifically about the climate change issues themselves. The carbon tax in itself has been massively unpopular. Would you agree with that, and what is your opinion on that?
Well, I don't know what the question was in which they polled that opinion. and you know, you have to look at what how they put it to people, and also what percentage of the population did they ask? Was it 1% or 1,000 people or 200 people? I mean, you really got to look at all that to believe those polls, and I don't believe it. Well,
Would you agree that the Prime Minister of this country went to the previous election with a statement saying that there will be no carbon tax under a government I lead? Would you agree with that?
What, are you supporting no carbon tax?
Oh, no, I'm here to ask questions.
Okay, let's tackle this question properly.
Is that correct or incorrect?
The carbon tax will not solve the climate change question. They're attacking Julia Gillard from the wrong side and from the wrong reasons. We need more than that. We need solar panels. We need renewables now, right now. I don't believe in those denialists. You know, they're crazy, or else they're being paid for by the big coal companies. There's obvious, the scientific facts are obvious. It's going to be global warming of 5 degrees if we don't stop what we're doing now with the production of carbon dioxide with the massive coal extraction we are carrying out.
Well, given that we won't question that or address that specific right now, but the solution that's been proposed, which is government taxation, right, which puts carbon credits as a tradable commodity through the banking system, and given that this protest here has been largely sparked by corruption and dishonesty within the banking system itself, what is your position on the carbon tax and the trading of carbon credits as a proposed solution?
We have to do something. It's not going to solve the problem, but we have to do something. And I don't believe in Abbott and his solution. That's going to do absolutely nothing. We're going to fry in a couple of years. You have to tackle this question, and it has to be done with renewables. I don't think Julia Gillard has gone far enough, and it's not going to work, but she's got to start somewhere, and we have to start with the carbon tax. But I think we should tax the big polluters. It should be called a pollution tax, not a carbon tax. And it's the big polluters who aren't paying.
But when you say we, you mean the government. The government imposes a tax, and that tax is raised against everything, which of course causes the price of everything to go up.
There's a massive disinformation campaign against the government on this issue. Massive disinformation campaign. People aren't getting the facts of what's going to happen and what will happen. And so we have to tackle it in a different way. We have to educate people about what the problem is.
But would you agree that there has actually been reports from within the government and from within representatives of the government's policies that there is a massive fraud problem with the way in which carbon credits are going to be used within the economic system because it is so open to rorting and fraud?
Oh, yeah, of course, I agree with that. There's going to be massive fraud and there's going to be massive problems.
So again, just getting back to the viability of that solution.
Would you agree she should attack 1,000 of the big companies? And you agree with that solution? It shouldn't be the people who pay. It should be the big polluters who are paying
The problem is that it is very easy to rort the system with phony carbon credits. The bigger the company, the easier it is to do. The larger companies actually have much more resources to be able to manipulate the system to create artificial examples of how they've been green, for example.
It's going to be fraud on a whole lot of issues.
So again, getting back to the reason why this event is here and what Occupy Wall Street was about, how does that fit in with your agenda? It doesn't seem like it's actually really related.
We have to. Ordinary people have to start speaking out about the system and how it works, and it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work for us on climate change. It doesn't work for us on education. It doesn't work for us on health or hospital system. All the money is just going into the big companies. And it's true, Gillard's going to hand over billions of dollars in tax-free credits to the big companies. I don't agree with that either.
So what would be the preferred solution?
Renewables now, 100% renewables now, wind power and solar power, and that organisation called Beyond Zero has written out a blueprint on how that can be done.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who is on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they'd been in an all-night stakeout, or that they'd been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did Did the ATF receive a warning? And if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Mirabel? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
You're listening to audio from TNRA's coverage of the Occupy Martin Place protest on 15th of October 2011. The videos can be found on our website at www.truthnews.com.au. But for your listening pleasure and for your podcasting applications, we're actually putting the audio into this podcast as well. Hope you enjoy it. Continuing from where we left off before the break.
With a minimum amount of expenses and taxes for the rest of the population. They've done it. They've done a blueprint. And our government won't tackle it because they're in the pocket of the big coal companies. This is all against the corporations. The corporations just rule the countries, and to the detriment of ordinary people.
The problem that a lot of people have with some of the proposed solutions that are from a socialist orientation is that they tend to involve more taxation, more government, more powerful government, and we already have a situation where government and corporations have become in a very tight relationship. And as you start getting solutions that actually involve a more collectivist approach that are still overseen by giant government bureaucracies, those who have a libertarian viewpoint, those who actually want true free market capitalism, see that as an absolute red flag of a path towards totalitarianism. And I think many of the Occupy Wall Street people are from that perspective, but there are also many who are from a collectivist socialist perspective, which I personally find very dangerous, because I know where it can lead. I know what it can lead to.
Look, we're all going to have very, very different perspectives on that. I happen to sort of possibly veer towards what you're saying, in so much as that it's not about creating a system, another system, which is just sort of balanced left or right and favouritism. It's about getting through that. I mean, we've got... Democracy is the least worst option, we know that, but this is just creating a movement which is getting rid of the 0.1% or 1% that's actually having a direct influence, and starting from there and then getting our voices heard. Your point of view, her point of view down the road there at least can be heard. We're not hearing any of that at the moment, are we? And there's dangers in both ways. We've got to be able to sit down and have a rational discussion about it without having, you know, a great big fat cat and a group of fat cats with the snouts deep in the trough that are actually running it.
Hi, guys. We're just from a grassroots internet show called Truth News Australia. Basically, we're just walking around getting some views on what's going on today and why you're here. I know it's a very general, vague question, but then it's sort of an amorphous group today that's come together. Does anyone want to just venture to have, you know, a statement about why they're here today?
We're all here for many, many different reasons. I'm not going to tell you why I'm here personally. I'm going to tell you my understanding of why people are doing this in general. Basically, the political system has become corrupt by corporate finance, and that leaves us out. The 99%, we can't participate in the political system because we can't buy the political system. So basically what we're saying, that coming into the future, that needs to change, so that 99% of the population has access to the political system. In a nutshell, this is what I'm understanding that the kids are trying to stay in the States. I'm here for against Monsanto, against Coca-Cola, against war, against the IMF, against the World Bank. I'm here for many millions of reasons. But people are here because the political process is being corrupted by money, and we need to get the money out of that political process so that we can all decide how we live. All right.
Okay, just
thank
you. Just in relation to
that's
that.
That's enough, mate. That's enough.
Okay. Well, thanks for giving us that. Cheers.
It's not more confusing than that.
Oh, well, there it is more confusing because there's different views to the solution.
Confusing.
No, there's quite well-known differences.
You asked why we're here.
I mean, some people have a free market solution, other people have a collectivist solution.
Bro,
so
bro,
I don't know what you stand for yet.
Seriously?
So you haven't actually told me. So seriously? I don't know what your solution is.
I have a question. I don't understand why the people try to find a solution on the left, on the right, or backward, and not trying to see something forward instead. Because we should, I know. But everybody tried to put someone under a label or just a preconception of some of the old ideas. We should instead try to define something new instead of demand a change to the people in power. So I believe that we can find something different, like, for example, a so-called resource-based economy that is just a way to share the resources in a proper way and tackle this problem from the logic point of view instead of bringing politics and some other crappy system like this one that is based on exploitation, basically. So the idea of this new economy is quite well defined, but now it's not the place to speak about that. You can find information on the internet. But yeah, now we are going to have this wonderful conversation and figure out what to propose, what we want as a new system, instead of demanding a change to a ruling class.
Okay. Very keen to find out what that is at some point. Thanks.
The 1%. I'm talking about a representative democracy that represents the people.
We're actually having a meeting.
Oh, really?
So if you guys want to do an interview, do you want to go off and do an interview?
Democracy. Direct democracy, yeah? Now you're talking.
Democracy.
Should we move?
Why? Are we just asking some questions? We're all about solutions here. Why don't you share your meeting with the general protest? What's the problem? It's a secret meeting.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, why are we here? That's the point. I've actually been trying to ask this question of various people here today, and I've actually met with some pretty hostile responses. They actually don't want to tell us.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But I think I can see why you're here today.
Oh, you know why I'm here.
Frank Lowy and the Silverstein.
Silverstein Towers, 1, 2 and 7, Westfield and Frank Lowy, yes.
Yeah.
A little known fact of the 9/11 attacks is that an Australian, Frank Lowy, was in partnership with Larry Silverstein,
yes.
and still is, I believe.
Yes.
And that was worth a lot of money, that little job on 1, 2 and 7, wasn't
yes.
it?
Oh,
about $6 billion, I think.
Oh, it was worth a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
Mr. Lowy was involved in it big time.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to bring that up.
And I believe Frank Lowy owns Westfield, is that right?
He owns Westfield.
Yeah, and they're a wonderful organisation. Do you know what Westfield has brought in now?
What?
A new system? It's scanners that actually track everyone who goes into the shopping centre. It actually tracks their mobile phone signal and keeps a constant data mining of everyone who's come into the shopping centre so they can track and reverse market to them.
And that's every time you come into the building, they'd be able to do that?
Oh, yeah, that's going in Australia-wide, yeah.
So if they're doing that inside the building, they're doing it everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the wonderful thing we call corporatism.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the population all herded into these shopping centres. We have everything owned by insanely rich people who are probably, you know, some of them actually say we need higher taxation. Some of these are ultra-elite people. I think it was Warren Buffett said, we need more taxation. I want to be taxed more. Of course, he's got all these offshore arrangements and, you know, he's going to be cool. But what he wants is the people earning, say, a couple of hundred grand a year. Yeah, tax them. Let's make sure that they're brought right down so they've got no economic power. Anyone who's, like, earning over the average, which is like barely struggling to get by, let's just tax them so that they can't even, so that they can have actually no power in our society. That appears to be the agenda.
And hence that's why everybody is here today, because of that and because of these disgusting, horrible, greedy, dominating, controlling freaks.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm with Truth News Radio Australia, just a grassroots podcast news show. Can you give us your reasons for being here today, and what do you think it's all about? Why are we here today?
Sure. I mean, I think that this might be the beginning of something big. There are a whole range of different sort of issues and demands here, but they're all about the effects of capitalism, which just uses people, uses our environment. And people here are saying they're fed up with it. We're the majority. We're not listened to. This is not a democracy. So all of us have our separate issues, but we're united by that. And there's a lot of energy, a lot of respect in the crowd. And maybe it'll be the beginning of something big. And even if it doesn't last, it's the beginning of a process.
So just from looking at your material here, you're a communist?
Yes, proudly so.
Now, I know it's difficult to give a quick answer to this, but can you explain to me how does a collectivist communist system not end up in total tyranny? Because every time in history when it's been tried, it ends up with a centralized power system with loss of people's freedoms and rights, subjugation of the individual to the collective state, mass killings, as we saw under Stalin, as we saw under Pol Pot, as we saw under Mao. Are you in favour of those types of regimes, or are you actually proposing an alternative to that?
You are putting a particular view of what's happened in communist societies.
Do you dispute those regimes?
For example, I wouldn't call Pol Pot a communist society by any standards. I would also, when I'm looking at the old Soviet Union, and I lived for almost 10 years in the German Democratic Republic and worked there, you all don't look at the fact of what happened for women, what happened with education, what happened with culture. You know, you're presenting to me aggressively a very one-sided picture. One of the things about what's going on here is that people are showing respect for each other's positions, each other's demands. If you look at what's happening in Latin America today and what's happening in Cuba, those are, if you like, the second round of our efforts to build socialism. They are different from what happened in Europe. If it happens here, it will be different again. But I know that socialism in its essence is democratic. It's about people, it's about the relationship between the individual and the collective and how that empowers both.
I'm not disputing there's been major progress with some of the socialist countries in South America, but I was talking about some specific examples there of large-scale socialist examples in history which have led to extreme totalitarianism. I mean, would you dispute that? And I'm not meaning to be disrespectful, and I don't see merely asking a question as being disrespectful.
Well, you're not asking a question. You're actually being fairly aggressive, and it's the kind of thing.
Well, how am I being aggressive? Why is it aggressive to ask a question?
They are the kind of simplistic accusations which are always, communism's that. It's just totalitarian. The Soviet Union was not totalitarian. Were some people killed? Yes. But the hundreds of thousands that the anti-communist media and academic and industry point to, I do not accept those figures. I don't say that...
We are going to have to leave it there. The rest of that video is available at our website. Please check it out and leave a comment, and we'll be talking to you again next week. Good night from Truth News Radio Australia.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.